Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Thursday, August 29th, and it's the 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 51, the first paragraph, This World of Ours, and we're comments on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Reggie O, the 12 Traditions, Summer D, and the readers of the text are John K., Kathy Jo P., and Dion R. The share ID for Wednesday, August the 28th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,329, and for this morning's meeting, August 29th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,336. That's 13336. And our newcomer greeter is Leah S., and our announcements coordinator at the end will be Leslie W. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Mo. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Reggie O. And I will now ask Summer D. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Summer.
Good morning, Mo and Team Thursday. This is Summer, gratefully recovered in Southern California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and it's been an honor to serve for the month of August.
Thank you, Summer. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. And that's the star 1 button on your phone and not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 51, starting with the first paragraph, and we'll be reading that one paragraph only, This World of Ours. And I will now ask John Kay to get us started. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. This world of ours has made more material progress in the last century than in all of the millenniums which went before. Almost everyone knows the reason. Students of ancient history tell us that the intellect of men in those days was equal to the best of today. Yet in ancient times, material progress was painfully slow. The spirit of modern scientific inquiry, research, and invention was almost unknown. In the realm of the material, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. Some of the contemporaries of Columbus thought the round world preposterous. Others came near putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies. I love Bill Wilson's brain. He's actually quoting a couple little phrases he just said there are actually from William James in this Varieties of Spiritual Experience, you know. And Bill and I, our brains are exactly the same. You know, I love what he said in a later book, the AA 12 and 12. He called the steps intensely practical. And I think that he wanted to be able to think of things in a practical way. And here he's pointing out how people quite often begin to limit their concept of a higher power by, you know, constraining it to the limits of human understanding, you know? I mean, of course the world is flat. Look down the street. It's not curving downward. Of course the sun moves around the earth. That's why it's coming up in the east and going down in the west. I mean, if we only allowed ourselves to see the world based on our own perceptions, well, you know, they would never consider cellular biology because we can't see a cell. They wouldn't, couldn't possibly be a Neptune or Uranus or another galaxy because we can't see them. Well, you know, I've never been to Neptune, but I believe it exists. I've never seen an electron, but I believe it exists. So why, when it came to having some belief in a higher power, when I first came to the program, was I so averse to believing in it? Well, for me, I think it was simple. My concept of God or higher power wasn't mine. It was someone else's. It was, you know, for me, it was the old white guy on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. It was the guy who had all the rules that I had to follow or I was going to hell, you know. And, I mean, I think we all get a hand-me-down God, you know. I got it from my mother, who got it from her mother, and, you know, probably all the way back to St. Patrick, you know, since both of my, sides of my family were Irish. And what I needed to do, I think I needed to deconstruct the higher power I was given before I could construct one of my own understanding, you know, or I should say more of my not understanding. Now, you know, I think I could, it's possible you could reconstruct the exact same one, you know, you came in with, but then it'll be yours. And, but, you know, the other thing I had to battle was when I was new, I wanted all the answers. Well, how could there be a God if there's a Holocaust or crack baby or any number of bad things in the world? And I remember my old sponsor used to say, well, if you understood those things, you'd be God. And I hated that, but he was right. You know, my higher power is not my personal Santa Claus there to fulfill my wish list. It's not there to explain him or her or itself to my satisfaction so that I'll believe. I mean, that was really arrogant on my part looking back, you know. The key, I believe, to my relationship with any kind of a higher power is summed up in the word only in the 11th step, you know, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. And I always tell newcomers that OA offers an easier way to come to some faith in a higher power. And it's simple. Look around the rooms. You'll see so many people, so many smart people who had tried for years to conquer this problem themselves, but who had no success until they came here and followed these simple set of instructions, and more importantly, got out of the way. You know, that's how I see my third step.
Fine.
Get out of the way, John. I will. Get out of the way. You know, that's the third step to me. And I'll end with one thing. I'm a big fan, or was a big fan, of David Bowie. And he had a song he did right near the end of his career. And the whole song was made up of one line, and that was, God is on top of it. and I believe that today. My higher power is on top of it. I just need to get out of the way. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, John, for getting us started. I remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 51, the first paragraph, This World of Ours, and we'll be discussing that one paragraph only. Those of you who'd like to share, the lines are open. Open up.
Leah S.
Donna
Leah
B.
Leah S. Donna B.
Cindy D.
Cindy D.
Robin
Maya
B.
K.
Robin P. Who was after Robin P?
Actually, it's B.
One.
Robin it's B. Robin B, like in boy.
Oh, B. Okay, got you, Robin B. Who was after Robin?
Maya K.
Maya K. Sorry, I didn't get you, Maya. And
sure.
One more. Okay, we'll go with those five. Leah S., Donna B., Cindy D., Robin B., and Maya K. Okay, Leah S. followed by Donna B. Leah, good morning.
Thank you so much, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Leah S. recovered and very grateful in Brooklyn. This entire paragraph, I read it many times, and it just dawned on me that why is it so important to put this, what does this have to do with my overeating and with my food addiction and certain foods that I'm allergic to? Well, it has a lot to do with that. It's part of what the program is beginning to, in the very first chapter, they are telling you with Dr. Silkworth that he was a brilliant person. And all the 164 pages, they were never changed because they work. They work. And you know what? When I grew up, I always said, I'm going to be better than my mother. I know much more than my mother. And we all tend to do that because, you know, they're from the old-fashioned type. But you know what? Experience has given me an insight, has kept me on the track, and has been able to keep me to maintain what I am achieving at this in these 12 steps, and in this program. it wants me to do more, and it wants me to understand more. Yes, they were smart. They didn't have the technology that we have, but that's all it's saying. It's not saying that they weren't of brilliant minds. Columbus did say, you know, but people didn't hear about it. And with us, when we are spreading the word, and we know, actually, I don't know any one of you personally, so to speak, but I hear it in the voice. I hear the recovery in the voice. I know this works, and it does. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, and thank you, Leah S. Donna B., followed by Cindy D. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Denver. As soon as I heard this paragraph being read, and I asked my higher power to lead me in thought and possibly sharing on the line, I was reminded of a line, just instantly it came to me in Bill's story. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And so it had been ever since, how blind I had been. And what that means to me is, even as our world continues to make mind-blowing material progress, I'm not sure that material progress is helpful to me. It stimulates my compulsion to seek worldly clamors. There's more and more to be seen and more to be had. And I think in this era, even more than in Bill's era, to stay focused on a spiritual practice with so much external stimulation to me is more challenging. And I'm so grateful to be diligently working this program so that I do have an opportunity. And for me, it's especially the first thing in the morning to pray and meditate and to connect with a spiritual and possibly ancient-minded practice. My challenge when I get out into that world of material progress is to do as Step 11 tells me to do, which is to pray throughout the day, to continually ask, "Thy will, God, not mine be done. Thy will, God, not mine be done." And as I raise young children, my daughter is 12 years old, I can see the allure of the worldly clamors at the tips of her fingers through her cell phone. And sometimes I wish there was less material progress and more opportunity for the quiet and the peace that allows me to practice seeking a power greater than myself. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna B. Cindy D., followed by Robin B. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas, and I'll be repeating some of what has already been said. I find that today, with all the advances in technology, it's almost overwhelming at times, and I think I have to work harder to keep an open mind and faith at times. And yet, I'm so grateful that I have this connection to my higher power that's now connected me to nature and to people and to love and to compassion more than I've ever had in my life. And, you know, I was thinking back to when I was younger and, you know, my mom and dad had such traditions in their religion and they passed them on to us kids. And yet, you know, I rebelled against it pretty much the whole way. And as soon as I got out of the house, I left it all behind me. When I look back and I think about, you know, it talks here about people in ancient times, you know, we're tethered by, or fettered by superstition, tradition, all sorts of fixed ideas, it really kept them from growing. And so I think it's, you know, when we can come to this program and be open-minded and just allow God to come in and show us, you know, what he's about and what he can do and that he's been there the whole time, it really does allow us to grow in this program. And he gave us this program. I believe that in my heart, and I'm very grateful for that. And I know that when I'm in my disease and when I'm practicing my character defects and my survival traits that I learned growing up, you know, I'm keeping myself away from my higher power and from God. And so it's only through recovery and being able to grow and to become more of what he wants me to be that I can draw closer to him, because that false part of myself that, you know, became my defense, you know, mechanisms, my character defects, really can't relate to the higher power. It's only my true self when I'm open and I'm letting God live within me that I can connect more and more to that. So with that, I'm going to pass. I'm just really grateful I'm here today and got to be with all of you. And Mo, thanks so much. I pass.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you, Cindy. Robin B., followed by Maya K.
Hi, this is Robin B. from Southern California. It's been a long time since I've been at this meeting, and it's nice to be back. I really needed it today. And, yeah, I keep thinking about the progress, painfully slow. So, yeah, my intellect didn't get me anywhere with my eating disorder and, you know, 2.5 decades of struggling. So I am very happy that at least I have an open mind. And I try to have an open spirit. Sometimes that door closes, though, but you know, it's funny, I get so many interpretations out of this one paragraph, and it's probably my intellect getting in the way again, but I think about progress, and it is something that I believe in, in regards to my recovery, because I don't think I'd be alive if I didn't somehow believe that. I finally got abstinent. I have 24 days, and I can't even tell you how many years it's been since I've had that much recovery. And I am grateful. And I keep thinking about all the craziness in my mind that is happening in the world, and my intellect wants to find the answers and be definitive and everything. And yet this morning I woke up at 4 a.m. to let my old dog out to go potty, and I couldn't go back to sleep because the mind kicked in and I just was thinking about everything negative, and then I would try to counteract that with positive. And I totally forgot about the fact that when I used to get that way, I would say the serenity prayer over and over and over until it stopped. And then I was just getting kind of testy, and I thought, you know what? It's not 7 o'clock. I bet that meeting is still there. And so then I get on, and I'm running around with my phone listening to the start of the meeting, trying to find my big book so that I could read the passage. And I just thought it was really fitting. You know, I change a few words, and you know, it's my life. And so I think I'm trying to get out of fixed ideas, because I have fixed ideas about things, people, situations, and whatever. And I don't think it's helping. Okay. And so anyway, I'm glad to be here, and thank you very much for letting me share a pass.
Well, welcome, Robin. And before we get to Maya K., let me remind everybody where we're at, because we'll open the lines up for more shares after Maya. We're on page 51, the first paragraph, This World of Ours, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Okay, Maya K., I got you on, ready to go.
Hello, I'm Maya K. from New York, and recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm kind of new to Vision for You, but I've been in program for a long time, 30 years, and I guess I just am glad to make it on this line, and this paragraph is really is a really good reminder of you know, how people doubt things that they, you know, can't see. And I love the analogy with the round, you know, people just really don't, they wanted to put people to death, you know, who were saying, no, the world is flat, you know, like, we'll kill you if you don't believe this, you know, and how I'm glad that I'm open-minded enough, and I feel like I've been struggling, like, I've heard, like, in AA, like, people who continue to want to drink, even after 30 years, like me, and they don't, but they're very close to it all the time, and I feel almost like maybe that's God's way to keep me open and keep reaching for God. And so the past 2 days have been really hard for me. I've been wanting to reach for, you know, laxatives, all natural. And I just keep praying and praying and praying. And it keeps me, maybe it's God's will for me to keep getting desperate again enough to stay connected to a higher power. And I keep, it keeps me believing, even if I can't see it. And, you know, I keep doubting. And I've always doubted, you know, like, why aren't you helping me? Or, but it gets me talking to God again. So maybe that's God's plan. You know, I keep reaching out everywhere else. And finally, I sit down and I write to God. And that's what I did this morning. And I'm feeling much better. And, you know, who knows what God's will is, but it keeps me open-minded, because I've tried everything, every easier, softer way, and I keep thinking of that, you know, where people would say, oh, you can't fly, or the world is, you know, is flat, you know, and I know in my gut, I've had those same feelings where I know something, the truth about something, and when I follow that truth, it's usually God. And like right now, I'm following that truth about, you know, a path with school, and I mean with my job, and I'm just trying to have faith and not be afraid. And I think God is all about that, just following that truth and having a little faith. So I guess that's how I relate to it. Thanks.
Thank you, Maya K. And I will now open the lines up for more people who'd like to share on this paragraph.
Michelle J.
Michelle J.
Patty T.
Patty T.
Anthony S.
Anthony S.
Stacy B.
Stacy B.
This is Raquel calling to this.
Sherry
K. B.
Sherry K. B. We'll stop there. Sherry K. B. So I have Michelle J, I think. Yeah, Michelle J, Patty T, Anthony S, Stacy B, Raquel. I didn't get the first initial of your last name, but I'll get it when you share. Sherry KB. Okay, Michelle J, followed by Patty T. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can.
Well, usually I come online and I'm just all excited and happy, but today I'm not. You know, I read this chapter and thank God it's here. And I listen to you all, and thank God you're here too. You know, I'm in one of those times when life just sucks and I can't grab a hold of it. And someone I love is going down and going down hard and I can't stop it. And everything in me says, you can do one thing. You can open your mouth and stuff food in it. You've got that control. And I, oh yeah, I've got that control. I can open my mouth and I can shove food in it, but that won't help. And that still quiet voice said, get on the line. Listen, you can do this. And I did. I put you all on and there you are. And you know, it's very hard. And if I was in a spaceship, I could see that the earth was round. Like Christopher Columbus, he had to walk out in faith. He had to step out and just know, I'm not in control. The world is round. I can't see that it is. But by gum, I know God can do this and God can handle this. And I'm just going to keep holding on. And I'm going to keep holding on to you guys. And I'm going to keep holding on to food away from me, of course. And not let it get me, because I'm turning to my higher power today to get through this. And I can't wait to get through to the other side and see for myself that the world is truly round, that God can really, really, really see me through this. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Michelle J. Patty T., followed by Anthony S. Patty?
Oh, hi, everybody. Thank you so much, Mo, for your service and everybody on the line today. What an amazing paragraph. So if I substitute the word spiritual in place of material, the line reads like this. In the realm of the spiritual, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. And that was me. That is me. And this program and my higher power helped me break all that stuff down, helped me restructure and realign my belief system so that I don't have to continue to live in an old, antiquated belief system that does not serve me or the people in my life that I affect. It's as simple as, the whole thing that we hear, I made a mistake, I'm not a mistake. But for years, I thought I was a mistake. That's kind of what I learned, whether it was said to me or not. That's how I assimilated it, because I have a little kink in my brain that hears things and skews things differently. Whether or not that's what's actually being said to me. So I have to write that stuff down. I have to look at it and see that's how I think. And then I have to turn it over to this higher power and say, can you show me how to change this? Can you help me figure out how to do a different action so I can live differently in this way? And you know what? It never fails me. I can't really define God today, but I know that power allows me an expansive thinking that I never, ever could have gotten to in regard to myself, my disease, and the people in my life. It's just profound. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Patty T. Anthony S., followed by Stacy B. Anthony.
Hi, I'm Anthony S. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. So I like this section of the book. It's really well written and it's very accurate. So basically, I found myself unable to stop when I was back at home. I wouldn't really be able to get out of the kitchen. I would just keep eating like all sorts of different foods that were there, and I would kind of finish them all to the point where I thought it would be better to just get rid of those foods and not even have them. And so I started working this program. I didn't really work the steps. I would just go to meetings and stuff and just kind of see that as what I needed to do. And I was weighing and measuring at that time. I bought a scale. And by the way, please excuse the background noise. Sorry about that. But I would do that, and it was really just white-knuckling constantly. Like, food was obsessing in my mind all day. it wasn't until I started to put the steps into action and actually do them. And that actually came out in my actions. When I started to realize, or not realize, it just suddenly became like not an issue anymore. I can't tell you that's 100% perfect. I have certain days and times where it's definitely, I get cravings and sometimes I act on them. But if I don't act on them and I act on the program, which I do most of the time, I just see my one foot going in front of the other. And I find myself having like a normal relationship with food. It's really different. I really don't know how to explain it to you besides that it's a normal relationship. I don't even think about it anymore. I can eat whatever I want, anything. And it's contingent on working the steps every moment. It's a way of life. It's doing. It's all about doing the steps. So I got a sponsor. He took me through one chapter at a time. If you are in need of going through the steps, you know, for the first time, I highly recommend that you look for a sponsor. There's a lot of sponsors available in this program. Myself being one, I sponsor men only. And it will really get you started on knowing what the steps are and giving you an option to put them into practice. Upon putting the steps into practice, I don't have an issue with food anymore. It's just gone. And if I go back a few years, it was just scary. It was literally everywhere. There was food everywhere. Now, I don't even really notice it. I can eat whatever I want.
Time.
And I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Anthony. Stacy B., followed by Raquel E. Stacy.
Good morning, Mo. This is Stacy B., and I was just thinking about what we read and how they talk about superstition in that paragraph. And oftentimes we get tricked in thinking God is that that man in the sky, you know, ready to throw a lightning rod at us if we just, you know, do something that we feel he doesn't like. And after working my steps and, you know, studying different things, I'm realizing that God wants a relationship with me out of love, not out of fear, but God wants me to come to him from, you know, in love, because God is love. And that, to me, was a big thing to realize, and kind of hopefully I'm getting it more and more ingrained in me. But yeah, there were times where, you know, back when people would go, you know, to church or whatever, or the synagogue, whatever, and they were just preaching this really angry man in the sky, and that's all you heard about. So with that, I'm to me, it's nice to know that we have this wonderful newer way of thinking about God. And where people, it's real, it's more, it's truer, it's more accurate, and people are being healed by it. And I listen to you every day, and I hear your voices, and it's wonderful. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy B. Raquel E., followed by Sherry KB, and I think we'll have some more time for some shares after Sherry. Raquel.
Hello. Hi, Mo. Thank you for your service, and hello to all my dear friends there on the line. Raquel E., I somehow cannot say that word, that I'm recovered. I think perfectionism is not good. Like, I expect that I'll wake up and be a whole different person, and I'm not. Yesterday was, I'm glad you're all there. Yesterday I was at a wonderful wedding of a grandchild, and I'm over flooded with emotions, and even a lot of good emotions is not good for me. It's good for me to be on an even keel. The food is okay already a long time. If God willing, if he'll be bestow his grace on me, then by December 12th will be 11 years that I really, it's unbelievable. I am so grateful to program. I could not do it without understanding what I have, the doctor's opinion thoroughly. It helped me so much. But about this paragraph here, this world of ours has made more material progress in the last century than in all the millennium which went before. Sometimes I'm not so delighted with all this wonderful material progress, because it says somewhere, and I couldn't find it, that when we got cocky, it was even worse. There's a lot of arrogance. People spoke about it before me now in this session, about this getting carried away with the material world and the ability to control it. Well, while our program is speaking spiritual, and so, you know, forgive me, but we've made some regression in that respect, and I see it all around, and it hurts me as an educator to see children so engrossed in all this technology at their fingertips that they don't see each other or the person standing next to them. I mentioned before that my car was, thank goodness, stolen, so now I ride buses and cabs, and I get to meet people, and I get on public transportation, and children are so engrossed in their smartphones that they don't see whether there's a man with a cane standing next to them or a woman who is pregnant. And in the olden days, we used to stand up for these people. You know, I don't know that that is such big progress. It's more like it flies in the face of spirituality. And I'm concerned, you know, but God has his ways, and he will bring the balance, because a lot of wonderful ones, here, I'm talking to you, I can somehow handle a computer, and I'm grateful. I have 4 kids in the States, and I can talk with them. It's beautiful, but it's like the powers of nature. Yeah, I'm wrapping up. The powers of nature, you know, fire in the fireplace is great. In the middle of the carpet, it's not. So it's up to us to really tell these powers how much we want them to control us, or how they can be helpful to us. And I love you all, and thank you. Have good recoveries, everybody. Thank you for being there for me.
Thank you, Raquel E. Yes, thank you. Sherry KB.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and Team Thursday, and everybody on the line. Welcome newcomers and people of all. listening to everybody, I'm going to put a little different spin on this. Progress was painfully slow. I came in OA in 1988 and talk about progress was painfully slow because I was trying to run the fairy show the whole time. And I don't know why I wasn't listening or paying attention or had my own beliefs or my own superstitions or traditions or fixed ideas about a higher power and about the steps, and especially about this big book. Had a lot of prejudices and fixed ideas and superstitions, I guess, about this big book. And the interesting part to me is that because I had those ideas, it was painfully slow. My progress, my recovery. And until I really set aside my old ideas and my prejudices, not only about this big book, about the steps, and about my higher power, I couldn't progress any faster. And when I did set aside those old ideas and tethered to those, which means shackled in chains, irrational thinking, something that confines you, restrains, controls, limits me. So that was my thinking. All of that is, that's where I was. I was feathered to these old superstitions, ideas about diets and diet group support and all these crazy, crazy ideas. And I had to set those aside and open my mind and heart, set aside those old ideas and those fixed ideas, and to believe that this stuff really works if you get into it, that I actually did get unblocked and got connected to a power greater than myself. And I continued to do that. And without this, without, you know, I was always wondering, why is this in here? And, you know, I had to start really looking at this paragraph because I thought, what does this have to do with anything? And it had to do with a lot of things because it had to do with my fixed ideas. And to set aside those, that's what it's been talking about throughout this whole chapter in We Agnostics, to set aside my prejudices, my old ideas, and to be open because what was working for me, what I thought was working, had never worked before. And so it's set aside that idea and also knowing that I need God. And that's what it's telling me here, too. I need a higher power because it was painfully slow, the progress without my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Just reminding everybody that we're on page 51, the first paragraph. This world
Sima M.
And I have time for two. That was Sima M. And one more.
Barbara P.
Barbara P.
David
okay.
N.
I'm sorry, David. I can't get you. We'll see. Barbara P., I think it was. Okay, Sima, you're on.
Hi, this is Sima M., grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery in New Jersey. Glad I was able to get on the meeting today. I don't often get on live, but I needed it today, and I needed to be able to share. I am so grateful to this program because I didn't have any preconceived ideas of a higher power. I just accepted that there was a God, but this program taught me that a higher power is personal to me, that I can have a dialogue with my higher power that I choose to call God today, but that the guidance that I didn't get from parents, I can get from a higher power and through the people in this program who are contacting their own higher powers and giving me the benefit of that power, the power that transfers through the people from the higher power to me. And today I can have a direct connection with my higher power as long as I continue to share with others in this program. And it's just remarkable to me that who was so lost, wandering around in circles, not understanding what life was, thinking that if I was thin and beautiful, that was all that I needed in my life, and I'd live happily ever after with Prince Charming. Of course, that was 40-something years ago when I first came into these rooms, and I'm just so grateful, and I'm so grateful to A Vision for You for being... reinforcing that message that I heard 40-something years ago and then I didn't hear in meetings for many years in the interim. So I feel like I've come home again, and I'm grateful to Mo and to everyone who's shared on this line. I'll pass.
Thank you. And Barbara P., you'll close us out.
Good morning. This is Barbara P., like in peace, in Atlanta. And the line that really is sticking for me today is this idea of being fettered by superstitions, traditions, and all sorts of fixed ideas. And I think all I needed to hear today was fettered and fixed ideas, because I think any time now, today or when I started in recovery, anytime I get locked in on I'm sure I'm right, I'm not peaceful. I mean, talk about peace. I'm fettered. I'm hobbled by that. I'm really stuck by that. And whenever I look at my resentments and fears and things like that, they're usually tied to a fixed idea that I am believing, my narrative, my story. So it really caught me this morning. And I think one of the most profound, two profound things that I've heard recently in program that are I take as a spiritual place for me is just this idea. Somebody was saying when they were having a conversation, they were so sure they were right and so on, just leaving a little bit of room. And she uses the expression, you may be right. Like just being, for me, a tiny bit open, you may be right. Like leaving room for that, even if I'm pretty sure you're not. Because my mind, as an addict, I am sure I'm right. But anyway, so you may be right. When I'm thinking that way, or can at least turn my thinking that way, I know I'm in a better spiritual place. And then the second is just simply, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I have this thing where I think I know almost anything and everything. And it's crazy. It's a crazy idea. But when I'm stuck in that, if I can get to, you know, maybe I don't know. I don't know if there's a God. I don't know if there's not a God. I don't know. I'm just going to follow the program. That really boosted my recovery and allowed a God in that I know today, but that I had no room for. So anyway, I don't know is a wonderful spiritual phrase, and you may be right is also another good one for me to practice, especially today. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara, for closing us out. And I would like to thank everybody who gave service this morning on this meeting and for the month of August and all those who shared. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kathy Jo P. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.